peace with God.
The person in front of you at the checkout line doesn't have quite enough money to pay for their groceries. You cover the difference. You're anxious to get home from work, but you stop to help someone who's broken down alongside the road. Being a good Samaritan costs you something, just like the good Samaritan in the Bible. He paid for the care of a man who'd been beaten and robbed.
So this Samaritan went to him, just as Christ will come to you tonight. In your hurt, in your distress, in your failure, in your sin, he will come to you.
Welcome to Peace with God, an outreach of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I'm Bill Meyer. As it does every time, Billy Graham's message today comes straight out of the Bible. And right after you hear his message, you'll hear his daughter, Anne Graham Lotz, teach on the importance of looking to the Bible as the guide for your life.
What God says in his word is so. You and I can count on it. Are you spending time in his word?
Stay tuned for the rest of Anne's teaching in just about 20 minutes.
Peace with God.
Find us at peacewithgodradio.org.
peacewithgodradio.org or 888-61-JESUS.
888-61-JESUS.
Let's begin listening now to Billy Graham's message, The Good Samaritan.
Now I want you to turn with me tonight to the 10th chapter of Luke, and a very familiar passage that every young person here will relate to, young and old. The 10th chapter of Luke, beginning at the 25th verse. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, Jesus was asked that same question about 19 times in his period of ministry that is recorded in the Gospels in various forms. He was asked that question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But no one has ever done it. No one in the history of the human race has ever loved God with all his heart, mind, and strength all of his life, and his neighbor as himself all his life. That's the reason we've all come short. We're all sinners, and we all need to repent of our sins and find forgiveness at the cross. But he, willing still now to justify himself, as many of you would like to justify yourself, said, but who is my neighbor? See, he was a lawyer, and it was his job to cross-examine. He said, but who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering him said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was in the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And notice he did 10 things. He had compassion on him. And he went to him, and he bound up his wounds, poured in oil, poured in wine, set him on his own horse, or his beast, and took him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou, said Jesus to the lawyer, was the neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And the lawyer answered, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus, go thou and do likewise. Now, this is not a parable. This is not a story that Jesus had made up. It's an actual event. And Jesus gave this story as an answer to these two questions that this lawyer asked. The first question, Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Everybody here would like to have eternal life. Everybody would like to know that when you die, you're going to heaven. You know you're going to die. It is appointed unto man once to die. You cannot escape death, but you'd like to know that you have eternal life. Now, eternal life does not begin at death. Eternal life begins the moment you know Christ as your Lord and Savior. There are many people that are here and now alive physically, but you're dead spiritually. You're dead toward God. You have no relationship and no fellowship with God whatsoever. You go to church and you go through all the rituals and you have religion, but you don't really have Jesus Christ. And so religion becomes rather dull to you. It's a disappointment to you. And so you try to find your kicks in drugs or sex or something else. You turn to other things to escape, because there's always this empty place in everybody's heart that only God can fill, because you were made in the image of God, and without God, there's an emptiness. There's a lacking. And you're always, all your life, searching for something, and you're searching for eternal life. You want eternal life. You can have eternal life right tonight. It could start tonight in your heart as Christ comes to dwell in your life and in your heart. Well, these questions, first of all, it was a social question. Who is my neighbor? Jesus gave the answer. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. When is the last time you shared your social life with someone of another race or another ethnic background? Or your material goods with the poor, or your knowledge with those who need an education, or your skills with the untrained, and your compassion and prayers for the peace of the world? Have you cared for the aged, the crippled, the handicapped, the blind, the alcoholic, the dope addict, the morally fallen, with your love and concern? Who is your neighbor? What is your responsibility to your neighbor? In the modern world of transportation and technology, the whole world has become a neighborhood without being a brotherhood. And the whole world suddenly becomes our neighbor. The scripture says Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. How many broken hearts are here tonight? Your girlfriend walked out on you, or your boyfriend has said no, and it's broken your heart. You say, well, that's puppy love, but it's real to the puppy. And parents are to have an understanding period during adolescence, when we're going through all of these ups and downs, and we're changing physiologically, and we're changing psychologically, we're changing philosophically, every way we're changing. And yet during that changing period, we're asked to make some of the greatest decisions of our life, our vocation, who we're going to marry, all the rest of it, we're asked to make. And then there was a spiritual question, not only a social question, but a spiritual question. Throughout history, the church has shifted back and forth as to its emphasis on personal redemption and social involvement. They both go hand in hand. But this man said, Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And the spiritual poverty of that man was deeper and worse than the material poverty. And Jesus showed that over and over again, that the spiritual disease is worse than the physical disease. It's the spiritual disease, the disease of sin. And you've got it. It's a leprosy. It's worse than cancer, because it destroys the soul. It destroys your relationship with God. It comes between you and peace and joy and happiness. And you need to turn your life over to Christ and have this eternal life.
We can tell you more about turning your life over to Christ. You can visit us online at peacewithgodradio.org and click on Grow Your Faith. That's peacewithgodradio.org. And of course, you can always give us a call. Our number is 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787. Stay tuned for the conclusion of Billy Graham's message, The Good Samaritan, in just a moment.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Jesus loves the little children.
all the children of the world.
There was no faith in my family, no church, no God, no prayer. I was in a godless home.
Then, when she was about 8, a local church bus made its way through Debbie's neighborhood.
And they asked me if I wanted to come to church the next day. There was a bus coming to pick me up. And I did that and went to church by myself on that bus.
And within 2 years,
I was saved at a Billy Graham crusade in 1972 when I was 10.
God used a local church and an international evangelist to draw Debbie to himself.
So I really think that God came and took me, and he's truly been my father all these many years and taken care of me and led me through everything.
God will use you, your church, your efforts to bring others to him. Learn more at billygraham.org. Click on Grow Your Faith.
Thanks for being with us today for Peace with God. As you get ready to celebrate the 4th of July, Franklin Graham says it's important to remember the unique freedom we enjoy in America.
Freedom is a precious thing, and it can be lost very quickly. And I pray for our president and for those that are in leadership that God would guide and direct this nation. And my prayer is that this nation will repent of its sins and turn once again to the God of our fathers and worship him.
Hundreds of thousands of Americans have given their lives for our national freedom. And Jesus Christ gave his life for our spiritual freedom.
Christ died for our sins and he rose again. And we have that freedom today in Christ because of what he did for us on the cross 2,000 years ago.
That message of freedom in Christ is the same message Franklin recently took to the former communist nations of Georgia and Poland.
My father went throughout Poland under communism to speak. And for me to be able to come back now that communism is finished in that country and to be able to preach the gospel and see people get saved, that's what a crusade is all about, or a festival is all about, is about men and women giving their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ and getting saved.
Franklin shared the message of Christ in Warsaw, Poland. In Georgia, his Festival of Hope was held in Tbilisi. But just 3 days before it began, the festival had to find a new venue because of a fire in the sports arena where it was scheduled to be held. Festival team member Robert Pittard says the only site they could secure was the courtyard of a local church.
The beauty of that, it became about nothing but the gospel. No beautiful venue, no stage, no nothing, just a back porch. And it was the most overwhelming festival I have ever been to in my life. And it's just incredible.
Total attendance for the 3-day Festival of Hope in Tbilisi topped 15,800. And at least 1,050 people made decisions to surrender their lives to Christ. Franklin's next festival is set for mid-August in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You can be a part of all these exciting outreaches through your prayers and your financial support. Go to peacewithgodradio.org and click on Give, peacewithgodradio.org. Or you can give over the phone by calling 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
There's hope.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
We're making our way through a very familiar Bible story on today's edition of Peace with God. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. And Billy Graham says this story addresses social, spiritual, and now individual problems.
Jesus said, a certain man. Now, Jesus is interested in you as an individual. He sees the sparrow when it falls, he said, and he has the hairs of your head numbered, and he sees you as an individual. He said, a certain man. He loves people. And the scripture says this certain man in this story went down. He went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jericho was 800 feet below Jerusalem, about 18 miles away. And a certain man went down the Jericho road. But now he was going down, and that's the downward course of sin. And we're all on that downward Jericho road, every one of us. And if you read the scriptures and read the first chapter of Romans, you'll find that sin starts in the very beginning and leads us downward, 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 downward. Jesus Christ on that cross can transform the human life and change hate to love. a certain man fell among thieves, and they stripped him of his raiment and wounded him. And we have all fallen in with the devil and his demons. And they've stripped us. They've wounded us. They've left us for dead. Jesus said, "The thief cometh to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Notice the difference. There's a thief that comes to kill, to destroy, to kill you. But Jesus said, "I've come to give them life and to give them life more abundantly." And all over the world, sin is rampaging, raping, ravaging humanity, violence, terrorism. Thieves have wounded and stripped this man and departed from him and left him half dead, alone and forsaken. One day you'll wake up. You'll find yourself, sin has destroyed you, and you cannot move. The Bible says that we're dead in sins and trespasses. The Bible says, "She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she lives." You can be physically alive, but spiritually dead. Your soul is dead. It cannot save itself. It cannot move. It cannot get up out of the ditch. It cannot heal those wounds. That's why Christ came and died on the cross. The wages of sin is death. The man is going to die. You're going to die. A priest came along. Think of it now. A priest came along, a preacher, a clergyman. And it says that he looked over and he saw this man over there suffering and dying and wounded and stripped. And he passed by on the other side. Now, he was too busy on his way probably to a religious conference to stop and help this poor man. Paul wrote to Timothy, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. You see, religion will not save anybody. People say, "Oh, I'm religious." Sure, you have religion, but that's not going to save you. You are saved by Jesus Christ, by the blood that was shed on the cross, by his resurrection, by what is called in the Bible the kerygma, the story of Christ on the cross, when God took your sins and laid them on Christ, and he became sin for us who knew no sin. That's the only way anybody's going to be saved. I don't care who you are, no one is going to go to the kingdom of heaven except the way God said go. You might not like it that way, but that's the way it is. "There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death," says the Bible. Come to the cross. Find forgiveness and eternal life. And then you have the ability and then you have the vision to go out and help your neighbor. And then the Levite came. Now, the Levite was a student of the law, that is the Ten Commandments. He believed in keeping the law. He was a legalist. But he did something that the priest didn't do. He stopped, and in the Greek it indicates that he stopped and looked for a long time at this fellow. He looked at him and looked at him, saw him bleeding, saw him still breathing, looked him all over. Then he figured, well, he was too busy too. And he didn't want to defile himself by touching a fellow that's going to die. He didn't want to get involved in that fellow's problem. So he walked by also on the other side. Now, this is a story Jesus told, an actual story that actually happened. And how many times it happens today? People say they can be saved by doing the best they can. I was brought up in the church, baptized, confirmed, and all the rest, but I still didn't really know Christ as my Savior and my Lord. There came a time when I had to say, "Yes, Lord, I will receive you. I will turn from my sins. I will allow you to change my way of living. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." So the wounded, derelict man was left to die. The priest and the Levite, unwilling to save him. And Jesus now shows us the simplicity and the saving power of the gospel. A certain Samaritan came along. Now, Samaritan was a half-caste. He was half Gentile and half Jewish. And the Jews and the Gentiles at that time had nothing to do with each other, and certainly the Jews and the Samaritans had nothing to do with each other. They didn't trust each other in that ancient day. And so this Samaritan, who normally would have nothing to do with somebody of another ethnic background, came along and saw what happened. Now, he could have said to himself, I have no responsibility for this guy. He got in his own trouble. He should have come along armed and ready for the thieves and the robbers on this road. He should have prepared himself. I don't have any responsibility toward him. He's not related to me. He hates me. God could have done the same with us. He could have looked at this little planet whirling out into space like a speck of dust with little ants called people living on it, lost, separated from him, dying, being born, live a few years and then die, being born, live a few years and die and sin and go on with their own pleasures, defying God. And he could have said, sweep them all into hell. He could have said, let's destroy the planet. He could have done it with the snap of his finger. He could have done it with an order to one angel. But he didn't do it. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, so loved. Only an infinite God can so love to do what he did, to save this little planet, to save you. The grace of God. We didn't deserve it. But I'll tell you, somebody does love you. I don't care what your problems are and what your tensions are and what your pressures, what your sins are and what your failures are. God loves you. God loves you so much that he sent his son to the cross to endure that terrible death for you, just for you. If you'd have been the only one, he would have died for you. And so this Samaritan went to him, just as Christ will come to you tonight. In your hurt, in your distress, in your failure, in your sin, he will come to you. He didn't just love and leave him. Jesus didn't just love us and leave us. He died. He did something. And this certain Samaritan did the same thing. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God doesn't just change us and convert us and give us eternal life. God keeps us and brought him up, the scripture says, to an inn and took care of him. And Peter said, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. You don't have to hold on and stay in the kingdom of God by holding on. He holds you. He takes care of you. You have wounds tonight and hurts tonight and pressures tonight and sins tonight. And Christ can touch your life and make you new and give you eternal life. And then you will have the strength and the ability to go out and be a neighbor to those that you should be a neighbor to. You say, what do I have to do? You have to say, God, I'm sorry. I've sinned. Lord, I'm willing to change my way of life. Lord, I receive you into my heart by faith, and I do it openly.
We're wondering, would you like to give a little more thought to everything that Billy Graham's just explained? That's easy to do. Just go to our website, peacewithgodradio.org, and click on Grow Your Faith. That's peacewithgodradio.org. Or you can talk to us on the phone. Our number is 888-61-JESUS. That's 888-615-3787.
Peace.
With.
God.
Find us at peacewithgodradio.org.
The story of the Good Samaritan, which Billy Graham taught from today, provides a lot of important life lessons. It comes from the Bible, and Billy Graham's daughter, Ann Graham Lotz, says the Bible is full of important life lessons.
What God says in His Word is so. You and I can count on it. Are you spending time in His Word, studying it, rejoicing in God's promises to you? The critical issue is to place all your faith in what God says, not in your circumstances or the opinions of others or your own resources or your feelings. Plant your feet on His promises in His Word. Then stand there. Psalm 1 verses 1 to 3 says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers, But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Think about it. If you want to be successful from God's perspective, plant yourself in his word. This is Ann Graham Lotz.
If Ann's teaching, her dad's message, or anything else you heard on today's program was especially helpful to you, we've got some good news. You can get a free CD copy of this edition of Peace with God. All you need to do is give us a call and let us know you'd like the free CD of today's program. The number is 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787. Next week here on Peace with God, Franklin Graham teaches on hope.
Where is your hope tonight? Is it in your bank account? Is it in government? Politics? Where is your hope?
That's next week here on Peace with God. We hope you'll join us. Until then, I'm Bill Meyer saying thanks for being with us today.
Peace with God is an outreach of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Always good news.